Welcome back, 537, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hello, Andy.
Obama gets a do-over on the Keystone Pipeline. That's big news.
We sort of had an inkling this was coming when TransCanada, the pipeline company, had said that it would resubmit the application, but didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, and now we know that it's, you know, they have resubmitted their application. There's still some details to be figured out about the path through Nebraska, which was the tricky part. But it means that the president could end up facing this decision this year before the election, which is what he wanted to avoid. You know, the State Department's already said it thinks that given the timing and whatnot, it won't actually have to decide until in 2013. But the political pressure will definitely be on the president to make a decision before
that. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the powers that be are going to tie this up until at least after the election, wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think they'll certainly try that. The problem with that is that it leaves the opening for Mitt Romney every single day to say, this is sitting on the president's desk, why is he waiting? Just make a decision. So, it's, you know, in some ways, let's put it this way, if gas prices go back up above $4 a gallon here come September, October, I suspect there will be incredible pressure. Of course, if the president waits until September or October and makes a decision then, that may be even worse for him. So I think your guess is probably right that the president does put it off. But that means a very difficult political issue he'll have to deal with throughout.
All right. So I know this happened a little later today. Any reaction from the White House?
No, I have not heard from the White House, just the State Department, which is because the pipeline crosses international lines.
Yeah.
You know, it may be weird that the State Department has a role in deciding a pipeline permit application, but they do because it crosses international lines. They've allowed them to do all the talking.
All right. So what about Republicans? I'm sure we've heard from a few of those today.
Absolutely. John Boehner, and we were talking about the politics of this. John Boehner said this means that there's exactly one person now standing in between America and this extra source of oil, and that's Barack Obama. That was his take on it, and you can bet that you will hear that from folks like Mitt Romney and whatnot as we go forward. You know, the House Republicans have passed a couple of different pieces of legislation that would force the president, actually would take the decision out of the State Department's hand and put it into other hands, and we'll see whether those efforts don't get some extra boost here. One of those came on the transportation bill, which is now going to conference between the House and Senate. So we may have an earlier effort to force President Obama's hand here.
Yeah, all right. Now, here's what I see maybe happening, because this is an issue that deals with the environment, and it's in Nebraska. And the problem, if I understand it correctly, are these aquifers that they're afraid are going to be contaminated in some fashion by building this pipeline. Couldn't the EPA get back in it again and have to do some impact study?
Well, so the issue is that if they do that, two things. First of all, if they do that, it would look a little bit weird, since the EPA already approved this going through the sensitive areas. All the other environmental studies have been done. As the company said in its statement today, 10,000 pages of documents of reports have been produced on this thing. The only issue was the 6 inches where it crosses the international line turned out to be the only issue. Now, it's also worth noting that in the statement, TransCanada was very pointed in basically saying, almost a political statement for our company. They said this was going to bring thousands of jobs to the U.S., basically listing all these great things and putting pressure on the president to approve it. So they know exactly the political situation the president's in, and for their own business purposes, we're sort of highlighting that and trumping it up and saying, well, yeah, Mr. President, we're giving you another chance here. We're giving you a do-over. You better take it this time. So a lot of pressure. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take you to another story you were working on very quickly, and this is the web becoming off-limits to Social Security claims judges. Why?
Because Social Security Administration, well, there are a couple of different reasons. The stated purpose by Social Security is that they don't believe that their judges have the ability to properly evaluate what they're looking at online. And also, well, there are two things here. Let's step back a bit. The These are the judges. When somebody applies for disability, they go to administrative law judges who make the decision about whether they are truly disabled or not. Those judges are essentially act as prosecutors. They gather all the information and build the case, and they act as judges, which is, they decide the case. It's a very European sort of model. The judges also believe that they have a duty to the taxpayer to try and weed out bad actors.
Right.
But Social Security is saying, no, 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 we don't want you going and seeking out extra information. Basically, you have to go based on the record that's provided you by these people and their lawyers. One of the judges actually told me that that means that if somebody's gone and had, say, 9 different medical evaluations and have not found them disabled, and they go and get a 10th who does find them disabled, all the lawyers have to provide, or all the applicant has to provide, is that 10th evaluation. The judge is not able to know that there were 9 other evaluations before, stuff like that. So some of the judges had apparently on their own volition been going, doing Google searches and finding Facebook pages with people in karate outfits or playing softball games and stuff like that, and decided, well, I don't think you're really disabled, and we're denying claims. This got to came to the attention of Social Security, and they decided that that was not proper information for people to be accessing, both because they decided the judges don't have the way of putting that information, like a picture like that, in context in the case, and also, this is interesting, they said entering information into search engines or into social media sites could actually compromise some of the private information that Social Security judges are already have access to in those case files.
Oh, man, unbelievable. Well, now, have any judges reacted to this decision?
Yes. I'm told that I spoke with at least one judge who was just found this awful. It said, essentially, we as taxpayers, we trust these guys to make decisions. They make decisions all the time on information that is given them. Why would they not be able to put a picture they find online in proper context? And I'm told that the Association of Law Judges, of Administrative Law Judges, is also pretty skeptical of this, and there's a movement afoot there to try and have them voice a public protest. So we'll see what happens. But this is, these judges are an interesting case. Last year, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, did a really great story on some of these judges, finding there's one judge out in West Virginia who approved 99.7% of all of these disability claims that came in front of him, was essentially just rubber stamping them.
Yeah.
He actually resigned very soon after that report. But there's a lot of scrutiny on some of these guys take this very seriously, and other guys apparently don't take it as seriously.
Crazy stuff. All right, Stephen, thanks for your help on both stories. Have a good weekend.
My pleasure.
Take care. Stephen Dynan, Washington Times political editor. It's 5:45, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.